This is, of course, the bonus episode. Welcome to it. You're listening to the podcast that guarantees plenty of aha moments and healthy, nourished skin with thanks to our friends, Sanex. Brand new season, brand new partner. We've been loving the Sanex Skin Therapy Shower Gel lately. It comes in three different options depending on what your skin needs.
First up, we have anti-itchiness and anti-irritation. It's designed for itchy skin. It contains omega-3 and reduces irritation in just 3 days of use.
We also have anti-dryness, which is designed for dry skin and contains hyaluronic acid, known for its moisturizing power.
And smooth skin texture, suitable for combination to oily skin, and contains niacinamide, known to help reduce imperfections. So whichever skin therapy shower gel you choose, you're in great hands, as it's developed with dermatologists. Yes, a shower gel developed with dermatologists. And its patented amino acid complex preserves your skin's barrier, helps support your skin's natural defense, and delivers a 24-hour hydration feel, because we are all about protecting our skin health in 2026.
Hot girl summer, here we come.
So welcome along to the bonus episode. So excited for this. We got incredible feedback after our bonus last week. So we were wondering, what story do we bring to the world this week? And thanks to our queen, Oprah, again, she's acting like our producer on the Soul Sisters bonuses. But her content on her new podcast is so good that we're diving into the world of Oprah again, aren't we, Solan?
We are. And actually, this was a DM that we received from one of the Soul Sisters, because she had listened to Bel Burden and she'd also gone back and listened to Kristen Cabot.
So a lot of us may not even recognize the name Kristen Cabot, right? We would be more familiar with the Coldplay Kiss Cam scandal, Chris Martin and the affair couple, maybe even the name of the man that was involved, Andy Byram. But Kristen sat down with Oprah in her one and only interview, she says, and gave her side of the story. Now, 300 billion times this video has been viewed. She is probably one of the most recognizable faces in the world at the moment. But like I said, many people probably don't recognize her name and certainly haven't heard her side of the story.
Exactly. And to think, she clarifies in the episode that 300 billion times is websites alone. It's not even social media. So this, yeah, I think, story and this scenario blew the word viral out of the water. You know, there are 8 billion people in the world, and it just shows you how many times this content was consumed.
Yeah. So I was so excited when I saw that Oprah was recording this podcast. And I was so dying to hear her side of the story, because, you know, we have all these, you know, preconceived notions about people, and her side of the story is very different to what we were almost led to believe by the made up narrative in the media. So she literally goes through step by step what happened that night and what had happened, I suppose, in the lead up to the night that they went to the Coldplay concert. So she starts by saying that she was already separated from her husband. His name is Andrew too. And they had only been married for a couple of years. They met in COVID. It was obviously, you know, they fell madly in love. But she highlights that he has a really, really special relationship with her kids, and they remain close to this day. So she had gotten close to her boss, Andy, and they were in this startup where I imagine they were working all the hours in the world. They worked very closely together. He was the CEO, she was the head of HR, and they were hiring. I think there was like 300 employees or something. So can you imagine how much they had to get together to talk about strategy, to talk about their team, to talk about how they were going to grow this business? So they lived around the Boston area, but worked out in New York. Now, in the lead up to the Coldplay concert, she said that she confided in Andy that she was going through a separation. And what did he say?
I'm also going through. How funny. I'm also going through a separation.
She said they totally bonded over, you know, this mutual life-changing event that they both just happened to be going through at the same time. So she insists that they had never even touched before the Coldplay concert. And Oprah seems to kind of challenge her a little bit on that. Now, they're in this gorgeous studio in New York. They are surrounded by a live studio audience, which is mainly made up by women. And I was surprised, I suppose, at the start of the interview, how much fun they were having, and kind of they were making it, the situation a bit lighthearted, weren't
they? Yeah, there was definitely jokes, and I suppose, again, designed to put Kristen at ease, but also maybe put the audience at ease, because as you said, it was completely filled with women, and many, many of the, in fact, nearly all of the people who've criticized Kristen Cabot since Coldplay have been women.
Yeah. So she says that these tickets came up from a friend, and she thought, yeah, sure, I would absolutely love to go to the Coldplay concert. And so she invited Andy. She says they were up at kind of the back of the stadium. She said it was quite dark. There was only 250 people in that area, and it felt quite anonymous. Now, she did point out that her ex-husband, or soon-to-be ex-husband, Andrew, was also in the stadium that night with the lady that he had started dating. And she got a text from her daughter to say, oh my God, it's so funny, Andrew was there too. So I suppose herself and Andy were staying quite low key. They didn't want to be spotted by neighbors, friends, or anybody that they knew. So they arrived to the Gillette Stadium. They'd been out for a few high noons, as the Americans call them. And they went in to the show, and they were really enjoying Coldplay. She was a big fan of Chris Martin. And she said it was so loud and the music was so loud that she didn't hear that they were about to do a kind of scan of the crowd. And we've seen Chris Martin do this before. And we've also seen some major blunders that he has had in this moment. I'm a huge Chris Martin fan, but I was at the show in Dublin and he said something weird. And I can't quite remember what it was, but he called something out at the Dublin show. And then for the rest of the show, kind of kept going, oh, I'm so sorry that I said that. Oh God, I'm so worried that I said that. So he's been caught, you know, off the cuff saying something unscripted at a show before. And I've seen the replay, the anxiety, the rumination in real time.
That's really interesting. So was Dublin before
Yes.
this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's fascinating because obviously Chris Martin hasn't come out and said anything. So you can only imagine the anxiety that that whole situation has caused him.
Yeah. I did think of Chris Martin a lot that week when this was coming out because, I mean, if you were responsible for causing this absolute shit show in somebody's life, I mean, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
No, definitely not.
So
no.
I was excited to hear from Kristen and see kind of her side of the story and if Chris Martin had reached out to her. But back to the night of the show, the song Yellow was on, which, I mean, you couldn't ride it, could you? And she was in the arms of her boss, swaying to the music. And next of all, she says she realizes that she's on the big screen. And she didn't hear what Chris Martin had said in that moment. All they could see is that they were on the big screen and they thought, uh-oh.
Now, I want to ask you what you would have done.
If I was in the arms of my boss at a Coldplay concert and I wasn't supposed to be like...
Well, the point that Kristen made on the podcast was that she's not a Jumbotron cam at a stadium sort of gal. So she would have done exactly the same thing, even if she was there with her family. She just turned her back. He bent down and crawled away, which I think just says it all. But yeah, what would you have done?
I would be a ducker if... no matter what I was doing. Like, I just wouldn't be into it. I'd be so afraid I'd get booed just for no reason, you know?
It's true. It's true. It's, you either turn your back or you duck. It's an instinct. And I suppose we can't really criticize either of them for their reactions as people, let alone what they represented.
I feel like you, Claire, would be two hands up in the air like,
I would be like, Chris, marry me. Hello, I'm here.
I was in work, just like totally off topic for a minute. Well, not really, but I was in work, and I don't know if I ever told you this story on Soul Sisters before, but I used to sit opposite Trish Laverty, who was my boss, and loads of people in the industry will know Trish. And one day she was like, "Chris Martin is so beautiful, so gorgeous. I totally fancy him." And I was like, "Really?" Anyway, by the end of our shift, I fancied Chris Martin too, because of how much she convinced me, how much footage I was shown, how much history I was given on him. And then I was like, oh my God, it's contagious. I now fancy mm-hmm. Chris Martin. So do you fancy Chris Martin?
100%. Yeah. And actually somebody, I spoke to somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they were hired, or their friend was hired, to go and do some video content at the end of the tour. Coldplay were throwing a big party for their crew, their staff, and my friend went along to set this party up and to get video content and stuff. What I didn't know about Chris Martin, and what I got from that conversation, is kind of how strictly he lives his life. So very strict eating, you know, I don't know. I think I just expected Chris Martin to be sort of chill, you know, fly by the seat of his pants kind of guy. But maybe that's not realistic for a man who's been as top of his game as he has, and lived so cleanly in it. Like, he's a rock star, but he's not a rock star.
Yeah.
So after hearing about Chris and what he was eating and doing at the party, I was like, maybe we're not meant to be, me and him.
What was he eating?
Oh, like, it was very,
like, vegan stuff.
Know, very clean and very green. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Martin was sitting in the corner eating vegetables. Not my type anymore.
Not like, no. Not me.
So straight after they got flashed up on the screen, they went out the back of the room that they were in, and I presume went straight to the bar. And they put their heads together, and they were, she says her biggest concern was, oh my God, Andrew was here. Now, to me, and for Oprah, I think she was a bit like, yeah, but you were separated. Like, what's the big deal? And she says, well, my ex-husband, Andrew, is part of a prominent family in the Boston area, and this would be embarrassing or cause shame to the family. So that was her immediate reaction. I suppose when you're in a stadium, and in the Gillette Stadium, which I presume holds at least 100,000 people, like, that's humiliating enough. And I think when you're in that moment, you're not thinking that this is going to go viral on social media. You're just thinking mm-hmm. about the shame within your town, within your community, and within this mm-hmm. stadium.
Yeah.
So they jump into a taxi with their friends, and right before they got into the taxi, they got into a lift, and a lady in the lift said, was that you on the big screen? And she immediately said no. And her friend turned to her and says, oh, this is what we're saying, is it? We're completely denying this. But I suppose the crisis strategy hadn't been considered at this point. And so Kristen went home and woke up the next day. And so the rest of her life changed from that moment onwards.
I guess what they had done wrong, principally, according to the facts, with my air quotes here, both of them were separated, so they hadn't done anything wrong. What they had done wrong was the CEO and the head of people were canoodling at a concert. So their initial responsibility was to go straight to the board and tell the board that this had happened. Now, they press send on an email that morning, but of course, at that point, the board had already heard. And actually, Andrew, her ex-husband, had sent her a message during the night saying, there's a video on TikTok. I think you need to look at this before the kids see it.
Oh, what a guy. He sounds like an amazing person, doesn't he?
And I was really, really delighted to hear all the way through the interview how much of her support Andrew had been to her. He made a statement and clarified the situation, saying they were indeed separated and she had done nothing wrong. And he is, as you said, really close to the kids. So he's been very supportive to them still.
I have to say, I never saw that statement from him, did you?
I didn't see it, but I did hear about it.
Okay. So she said that Andy, her boss, was very quiet in the car on the way back from the stadium. Now, what's since come out in this interview with Oprah is it appears that he had told Kristen one story about his separation that may not have been entirely true. Now, I really respect Kristen and how she handled the interview with Oprah. And she said she doesn't want to speak on behalf of him because so many had spoken on behalf of her. But she says what he had told her about his situation was misrepresented. So what I'm taking from that is that maybe he was not as separated as he made Kristen believe.
Now, in the first place my mind went when I heard this part of the story was fellas, right?
Fellas.
And I go straight back into my experience with men. And when men want in, they mirror, right? So I'm walking to the bar in a club in Dublin in my 20s.
Like
someone walks, marching with purpose and my curls to the bar, and someone stops and says, "Hello, where are you going?" "Oh, I'm just going to the bar to get a drink." "Me too." They were on the way to the toilet, obviously. You're walking out of a bar, right? And again, marching with a purpose up the road. "Where are you going?" "I'm just going up to Coppers." "That's where I'm going." You know? Mm-hmm. So immediately, this man, Andy Byron, really liked Kristen Cabot. And as soon as she said she was separated, he was like, ideal. And not to say that he was happily married. He clearly wasn't. But he was obviously looking ahead, saying, "That's where I will get to. So for now, I'll just tell a little white lie until I can actually get the wheels in motion."
That's interesting. I didn't look at it that way. So he obviously could see a separation in the future. So he was almost acting like his future self.
Exactly.
Before done the hard work of expressing how he really felt to his wife.
Well, this therein lies the problem, I suppose, is, and what this highlights again for me, and particularly as a single woman, I think, who talks to couples a lot and observes and witnesses these moments of lack of communication.
Mm.
People are not talking to each other. And I understand it. I get it. Because sometimes conversations are too hard to have. You don't know where it's going to start and how it's going to end. So you just sideline it and you let it go and you let it go and let it go until somebody walks into your business and you're like, I like what I see.
Oh, wow. Let's talk about the fallout. I don't need to feel anybody in on what happened next, but it became one of the most viral spoken about incidents probably in the last 10 years. I mean, everybody was talking about this and everybody was fascinated. And I think what Kristen on reflection can see, she felt in her heart and soul that she wanted to speak in that moment and she was advised not to. But I wonder if she had of given her side of the story earlier, would things have been different for her? But she chose silence in that moment because she was told that it would all blow over.
You know, I don't think things would have changed that much. I think what Oprah said in the interview, which was quite confronting, was this video united the world in judgment.
Oh, so powerful.
And it is sad to hear. She had a stat of something like 99%, like really, really unwaveringly high percentage of women who were criticizing her. And she said in the interview, which I thought was really true, she said, you know, I've been accused of being a husband stealer. And I absolutely deny that label. And here's why. Do you know what? I thought she was really strong in the interview. Not to say that you need tears. I was surprised there were no tears at any point. But she's probably bolstered herself and prepared herself so much for this that she said, I will not cry. She's been so hurt and let down, I think, by the world that she was like, I will not let them see my vulnerability.
Yeah, what I thought was interesting is she said that they kind of kept in touch with each other for a couple of months afterwards. And then she kind of realized that for the sake of everybody in their lives and moving onwards, that they had to cut contact. So I suppose, you know, in the days after that incident, the only other person who knew what Kristen was going through was Andy. And the public humiliation. What I wanted to ask you, Claire, and I asked myself this question this week, like, we covered Belle Burden and an affair last week, and here we are talking about another affair on this second bonus episode of Soul Sisters this week. And I suppose I asked the same of Oprah. You know, why did Oprah want to interview Kristen? And do you think that she... For me, it felt like Oprah was giving a voice to a woman whose voice was taken from her. And I loved that Oprah was able to do that, because I think through understanding someone, we can only grow as a sisterhood, you know, and to hear from a person who felt silenced, who felt trolled, who felt bullied, who felt excommunicated. Like, I loved to hear from her. And to be honest, when this whole thing blew up in the public eye, I didn't hate her.
No, I judged her.
Did you?
But I didn't. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and so what did my judgment look like? Oh my God, look at that. Going along, having an affair, going along to a concert full of 100,000 people thinking you'll blend in. That's karma. That would have been the shape of my judgment.
And have you changed your mind since then?
100%. Yeah, 100%. You know, I think how she described women and women's reaction to this was interesting. She said, as a gender, it's sad how unwell we are. And even though I think that's actually a bad way to put it, I think there's something in that. And what it is, here's my two, when I stood back from this and asked myself as a woman, why it is I might look at her like this. The patriarchy have taught us to blame women. The man is on his track. The man is out there doing his thing. The man is the head of the family, the breadwinner. He is the strong, disciplined, masculine force in life. And the woman is what? On one hand, the temptress, on one hand, the homemaker.
Mm.
And then he decides which one he wants, depending on what it is he needs or where he is in his life. I thought that women maybe look at her and think, and Oprah did say this, she is a representative of women who cheat with men. So Oprah mentioned that Gail's ex-husband had cheated on her. And Gail said she realized she is part of a very, very large club of women who've been cheated on.
Wow. So this, you know, she said that she asks herself every day, why has this happened? And I think when you go through anything that changes your world, changes your reality, changes everything you once knew about your life, I mean, you have to ask yourself that in order to get through it. And she asks herself every day, why has this happened? She's worked hard all of her life. She's, you know, made it to the very, very top of her industry. And she said this is the first time she's ever been romantically involved with anyone that she works with. And so this happening to her is going to make her pivot in a different direction. And she is now going to use everything that she's been through to take a deeper look at, you know, cancel culture, at how people are treated online for clicks. And I don't think there's a better person that could have been chosen to take this now and do something positive with it. And I think she's already started.
Yeah, I thought she dodged the question slightly when Oprah said, you know, you have to ask yourself, God, why me? Why did this happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she took that on, frankly. I think she was like, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to work on behalf of people who've experienced the same thing. Personally, as a kind of a coach and somebody who's done an awful lot of work, I would disappear and I would work on what it is I'm doing and who I am in life.
Yeah.
That would be my first step. I admire her for saying that she is going to go out there and campaign. She's right. It's shocking what's going on the internet, but it is the internet. It is not real life. And I think her kids and her career depend on her leaving behind, actually closing the door on the internet and getting back and rooting herself in real life.
Yeah, but it is real life for the person who's being trolled and who has to open their phone and has been, you know, it becomes your real life when it's landing on your doorstep, when your kids are, you know, crying themselves to sleep, when your kid, you can't go to your parent teacher meetings, you know, like I think it's so hard to disconnect. And I think she's thinking about the individual person who is on the receiving end of this kind of cancel culture and their mental health. Like, look at Ryan Tuberty. Like, he said to me last week, you know, if I wasn't strong enough, things could have been very different. Now, what is he saying there without actually saying it?
She said the same thing, actually. She said if she was in her 20s, that she may not be here. She may not have been able to deal with it.
And maybe it had to get out of the TikTokers and the young people being cancelled online. And it had to happen to an older, educated person, not saying that younger people aren't educated, but someone with life experience, for this to happen and go, right, how are we going to change this for people going forward? And I really believe that she will. Now, if you haven't listened to this interview with Oprah, like, go and listen. It's absolutely brilliant. I personally would have preferred if it was just the two of them in the room. I don't really feel like the audience added much to it for me. But, and I think it maybe made Kristen a little bit less, it made it less intimate, I think. I think when you're interviewing someone, it's nice to be by yourself. But it's a really interesting podcast story, interesting direction. I think that Oprah is going down with her new podcast. She's kind of bringing back the kind of entertainment lifestyle stories, moving away kind of from the spiritual stuff a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what's next for the Oprah podcast. And we will link it in the show notes if you want to go and listen for yourself.
Thank you all for listening. Love to hear what you think in the DMs. And if there's something you'd like us to review or talk about, do get in touch and tell us.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.